Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters that are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the internet and other means of communication. Today, Friday, May 24th of this year, 2024. Our subject is Showers of Blessing by the Word of Elijah at the Last Day, preached on April 30th, 2016, in Encarnacion, Paraguay. He used the scripture there of 1 Kings, chapter 17, on verse 1. So there, let us read it, where he tells us. And Elijah the Tisbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And there, at the bottom, after that verse ends, he writes Revelation 11, verse 3 to 14, and 11, 15 to 19. And in this other Bible, there on the side he writes, Elijah, in the first verse. The first sentence there on the side he writes, Elijah. Showers of blessing by the word of Elijah at the last day. You may please be seated. In the study for that day, on top of the subject, above the subject, he writes, an abundance of rain sounds. And on top of that writing, he writes, of the Holy Spirit, adoption, redemption. And he also writes, it is seen from Mount Carmel, comma, the church, Mount Zion, where the third showdown will take place for a rapturing faith of the church bride in his upper room, the king's chamber. And under there, on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And further down, after the subject, showers of blessing by the word of Elijah at the last day, he continues on the side there, on Mount Zion, comma, Horeb, comma, Sinai, comma, Mount of God, comma, the church, Mount Carmel. And on the side he writes, for the restoration of the 10 lost tribes. And on the left, next to the subject, he writes, 50th year of Pentecost, Leviticus 25:8-13. So you can have that there in this study, those very important writings there. And let us turn to 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 41, which is also in this Bible study. And there, he also writes, some important things. And we have all three Bibles open here, where in two of them there are writings here. We'll go along slow to be able to see what he writes here, and also on the study. In these scriptures, there are some writings. Notice, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 46, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And in the Bible study on the left, he draws a little cornerstone. And on the bottom part of the ages, he writes, "Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel," and he draws an arrow toward the cornerstone. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "There on the right," he writes, "Elijah goes up, and there he asks for rain." This is in the study. Elijah goes up, and there he asks for rain. Where did he ask for the rain? At the top of the mountain, which represents the age of the cornerstone. Look at where he asked for rain. Now, he goes on to say, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he writes there in the Bible study, "Nations." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." Here in the Bible study, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he points to the bottom part with two arrows in the bottom part, which are the seven ages. But there is also an arrow there where he says, "Go again seven." And out of the seven, from there, those arrows go to the bottom part of the ages, and also an arrow to the cornerstone, where it goes through seven stages, which are the seven consecutive thunders. "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And above of the sea, he writes, "Nations," here in the Bible study. And also here in the Bible study on the left, he writes, "The sign in the cloud, a cloud like the palm of a hand." And here in the Bible, in verse 44, on the left side, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he also divides the seventh age there. And on the right side, there in verse 44, he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11. Notice how he connects this part here to the coming of the mighty angel. Out of the sea, here in the Bible, he writes on the left, west. That is in the Bible. In this other one, there, on verse 44, to the left, he writes, "The five Elijahs, the fifth Elijah," down there, but upward he writes, "The fifth Elijahs, the fifth Elijah." And he draws two stars of David. And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And there in verse 46, in this Bible to the left, he draws a Star of David. Now, in this other Bible, in verse 43, to the right, where it says, go again seven times, on the right side he writes, seven times. There we have the writings that he made here from the study, and also there in the Bibles. And there we have a clear picture of what this represents. Now, notice in this message, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Preach on January 17, 2016, in Bogota, Colombia, our brother William Soto Santiago tells us. Remember that the temple, which represents the church, has different parts. The seventh age of the church pertains to the holy place, the last part of the holy place. But from that point on, is the most holy place, where Christ in Holy Spirit must reach in His spiritual temple, His church, and in each individual who believes in Christ, here in the person's soul. Notice, as a church, as a mystical body of believers, the Holy Spirit reaches Christ in Holy Spirit. It is in that stage of the age of the cornerstone, which represents that part of the most holy place. And also, as a believer, as an individual, reaches the soul. That stage is also called the age of divine love. It is the most important stage of the church. Notice how God goes from stage to stage, from age to age. And God magnifies His word, of which, in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, page 52 to 54, it tells us. It says here, in this message, let us begin on page 52. It says, notice, but now the church has the preeminence. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. They can't get it. They just don't understand it. Satan don't understand it. None of the rest of them understand it, but just those who are predestinated to understand it, how God and Christ are one. They'll make Him three every time, see? They certainly will. Notice next, secondly, the manifested Christ in you, the hope of glory. That great manifested God in Christ, now Christ manifested in you. Look, what was once God's great secret, great mystery secret in His mind, is now put in the heart of the believers, that is, the body of Christ. And He writes, Christ among the bride. He wrote that above. What was God's once great secret in His mind, before the foundation of the world, is now made manifest. Think of it, friend. I'm sure we don't get it. And there on the left, going upward, he writes, they do not get it. Well, I can't see it the way I ought to. And I'm sure you don't, see? But God's great mystery, what the eternal God has a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ, then given right down to His church. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to the church, His bride, whispering secrets to her. You know how you tell your wife things, you know, the little girl you're going to marry, You love her so much, you just tell her the secrets and get her up next to you and love you and everything. You know how it is. Now look, in this same message on page 15, he has said there, he says, now God has a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how that is unfolded itself right down to the present hour that we're living, see? Then you will understand clearly then, you see, on, I believe, what is being done. God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knows nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it, see? He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. And he said, it's not, even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it, see, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet, of how he will come and when he will come. Now notice that here, he then says, of that secret that was in God's mind, notice further on he says, that, let us see where it is, it's on page 52. He says, what was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to the church, his bride, whispering secrets to her. Notice where he would be carrying out this. It is in the fulfillment of his coming, where at this end time, he is speaking to his church. He is whispering in her ear this revelation that is for the bride, for the church, because she is the one that was waiting for him. She is the one that would receive him, because he comes for those who are waiting for him. We have read it in several messages of Brother Branham, where he tells us about this, and Brother William writes next to it, the second coming of the Lord is for those who are waiting for him. The writing is something like that, whispering secrets to her. You know how you'll tell your wife things, you know, the little girl you're going to marry. You love her so much, you just tell her the secrets and get her up next to you and love you and everything. You know how it is. That's what God, Christ, is doing to the church. See, he's letting her know the secrets, just the secrets. Not these flirters, I mean his wife. See, all right, now look. Knows by having the revelation of his secrets made known to them. By his grace. How the grace of God. People. I hope you don't think this sounds personal to a bunch of people or this, that. But the secret that God is sharing with the whole church, if they would just receive it. See? It doesn't mean just me or just you. It means the church that he's trying to get into it. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? They can't receive it. He said again, he said these things. And how could they? Because Isaiah said they can't see it, see? And he always said, the prophet Paul said, he writes on the site, the revelation is for the bride only. See why some can't see it? Some can't understand it. And they label him as a fanatic. They label him as a usurper. They label him as a madman, as blasphemer, and all those things. When in reality, the ones who are doing those things are they themselves, blaspheming the Holy Spirit and calling God himself the same pillar of fire that is working, fulfilling what he promised, calling him Beelzebub, the devil, and all those things. And they do not realize the grave mistake they are making. But notice that the revelation is for the bride only. He wrote that there. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? They can't receive it. He said again. He said these things. And how could they? Because Isaiah said they can't see it, see? And he always said, the prophet Paul said, this know also, in the last day, perilous times shall come. The people would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of all those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, see, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this is the kind that goes from house to house, and leads silly women, led away with divers lusts. And Brother Branham says, with shorts and bobbed hair and everything else, led away with divers lust, and saying, it's all right. Oh, they're crazy out there. Don't pay no. See? Same thing many are saying. Now, look at what this person is preaching. Now, Brother Branham continues to read. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this man resisted, as Jambres and James withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. And Brother Branham says, able to produce a church, a produce a group of people. He continues reading. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. And he writes, the faith of the third dispensation. But they shall not proceed no further, but their folly will be manifest. And Brother Branham says, when Jesus takes his bride and sets her up here and said, this is her, and away he goes with her. That's right. And their folly will be made known. 2 Timothy 3, 1-9. Notice Brother Branham there makes that comment. When Jesus takes his bride, separates her, there are those ministries of Moses and Elijah carrying out the separation. And notice how at the end he says, and says, this is her, and takes her. In other words, takes her in the rapture. Our brother Abraham says, after quoting the scripture, he says, look it, having the revelation of this secret made known to them by his grace. Look, when this great revelation revealed mystery is made known to you, then you denounce all the things of the world. That is, notice when that mystery is made known. Which mystery? The mystery of the seventh seal. The mystery of the coming of the Lord. Now, I'm going to come back once again. I just might as well say it. I'm pointing to it. The tape's sake, and those that are going across, this tape goes across the world, see? You women that claim you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and not the audacity to let your hair grow out, when the Bible condemns it and said, a man has got the right to put away his wife in divorce if she bobs her hair, honored before God to do so. The Bible said if she cuts her hair, she dishonors her head. And he writes, you can divorce your wife if she cuts her hair. And it's a common, just, you know, what any old common thing is, for a woman to even pray with bobbed hair, see, wearing shorts and these slacks and things. The Bible says, any woman that will, oh, you say, that put in a garment that pertains to a man is an abomination to God, filthy, dirty, like an old stinking bathroom somewhere. Now notice the comparison Brother Branham makes of a woman who does that, filthy, dirty, like an old stinking bathroom somewhere, see, oh my. The filth in God's nostrils. And then you try to pray or offer up prayers in such a thing as that. God refuses it, turns it away. That's right. Well, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Branham. You are talking about the Old Testament. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the full revelation of God. God ever says anything, he can never change it. He always manifested, not change it. The law was magnified, not change, magnified. And he writes on the side, the law did not change, it was magnified. The law did not change, it was magnified. Whoever commit adultery shall be guilty of death, but whosoever now magnified looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he never changed the commandment. He magnified it. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. One day in the week. Now he magnified it. The rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God. Notice what we were reading back then about the Holy Spirit, which comes from those parts. He says it has different parts. What we read of Brother William from that excerpt, the seventh age of the church pertains to the holy place, the last part of the holy place. But from that point on is the most holy place, where Christ must arrive in Holy Spirit, in His spiritual temple, His church, and in every individual who is a believer in Christ, here in the person's soul. Notice, and here He's telling us that He magnified. Notice that Sabbath, which is a day of rest. He says, the rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God, precept upon precept, and line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Hold fast that what's good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. And that is the rest. That's the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And yet, they would not hear it. Isaiah 28:11-12. And wag their heads and walk away for their denominations. This is the refreshing, see? Magnifying the Sabbath day. To you, Sabbatarians. And so forth. Oh my, he don't change. He magnifies it. Hell has spread her gates to receive them. And he writes, more denominations. Now, you can see now the end time message, why it's rejected. Can you? Now, no denominations, but the revelation of his mystery. See, no denominations. The revelation. God is not known by denominations. He is known by revelation. How is God known? By revelation. To those who is revealed, no one knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Notice, it is a revelation to the individual, to the elect, to the person. Look, God in his body, Christ, and Christ in his body, the bride. Oh my, God made manifest in Christ, Christ made manifest in the bride, and as God took from the body of Adam, the woman, and she fell. Then God has took from the body of Christ, his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denominations or creed. No, sir. But she is coming back with the pure, unadulterated word of God being manifested. I hope every man that hears this tape, and every woman, will understand that, see? She is the second Eve, but she is not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. She'll stay with his word regardless of what anybody says. And he writes to the left side there, going upward, the mystery of God. And he also writes, the body is the word. And on the right side also, on that paragraph, there he writes, the bride will not fall. You can have all the ecumenical moves you want to, and all the affiliations, and they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon, and shut up all the churches, you see that. And churches like this, who is not denomination, they'll use them for a storehouse, anything. And if a man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that don't belong to the ecumenical movement, will be shot on the spot. It is already. That Lutheran minister, the head of it, said so. And it's right here. You can read it right here in your magazine, right? And he writes, persecution of the bride. Don't make any difference what they say. That church will stand true in the fight. She'll already proved it back yonder. And she'll do it again in the face of everything. It's the word of God. And let all ecumenical movements and everything else be gone. She's going to be there without spot or wrinkle. That's right. She'll stand there. And there to the right, he writes, the pure light. Now, he goes on to say, here, in an excerpt, in the Book of Quotations, page 64. Our brother Branham says in this excerpt, paragraph 565, he says, the latter rain will sweep the world, brother, being a former rain, sowing words. That's right. Now, you'll see what the latter rain produces. You'll find out there'll be an affiliation. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together and they'll shut the doors of them guys that won't listen to it. You won't even be allowed to open your mouth, right? That's when he'll come. That's when he'll show. That's when you'll see a rain. Oh my. Lay still. Be quiet. Let it go. And he writes on the right side, upward, the tenth vision. And on top he writes, the former and latter rain. And also to the left, upward, he draws at the bottom, almost at the margin under the paragraph, he draws Star of David. And upward he writes, he will come, the Lord. Now notice, where this whole matter about this rain will be taking place, which is the teaching of the rain. He says that it will sweep the world. And on the right side he writes, the tenth vision. It is in the fulfillment of that vision. Now let us turn also to page 66, paragraph 574. It says, there's been a teaching rain gone forth. The word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the word of God will live in the people. And that false bride that committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A confederation of church that is to be bound and burnt like the thorns and thistles. But where the word of God has been sowed into the people's heart, it will reap a bride for Christ, as certain as I am standing here. If the latter rain would have been here, the power of God would have struck that thing, and she'd have swept the world. Notice, if it had been there, and there he writes, sweep, on the left side. And he also wrote there, above that paragraph, the teaching rain. The latter rain is fixing to come. What's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something just like Eve tried to do. She tried to have more light to manufacture something. We've done the same thing, trying to make something in ourselves. Keep your hands off of it. Let God do it. Take His word and believe it. Hold it in your hearts. And when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold. And the word will manifest itself. Look at how tremendous that is. Now, he tells us on page 141, paragraph 1260, he says that she, he, 141. In the paragraph that we read, there he says, it will reap a bride for Jesus Christ. That is, there will be a separation, a segregation, which on paragraph 1260 on page 141 tells us about that ministry which is carrying out that work. Notice in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days till he didn't do. He could not depend on some certain church to separate them, say, the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostal to separate them. He said, He sent His angels to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. He is the one that is going to tell which is right and which is wrong. No other person, nor minister, nor brother, nor anyone can say what is right and what is wrong. No one can say that but the angel of the Lord, in whom and by whom the Holy Spirit is operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah in that instrument. He is the only one who can make that segregation, that separation. He is the only one who can say who is right and who is not right. Whoever dares to say that would be usurping and placing himself in the position of those ministries. God said He will send His angels at the last times. Not angels down through here, but angels at the last time, and would gather together. We know that this is in the coming harvest time now. Now an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. And we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches. And now? No. Through the church ages. And at the top he writes, in the separation He will send His angels. Notice, He will send His angels in the separation. Well, if it says that He will send His angels and that there will be a separation, then we have to see that work and that labor which that instrument will be carrying out in the midst of the church bride in this end time, which, in plain sight, one can see that work. And there one can identify where and in whom God is working, where and in whom the pillar of fire is working in the midst of the church. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in this message that we are reading, of the subject, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He continues saying, the word is being manifested, going from age to age, carried on the shoulders of ministers sent forth in the ministry to carry the gospel. And now, it must go from the holy place to the most holy place, for which the Holy Spirit will have His instrument to place the Ark of the Covenant, the Word, in the most holy place, the age of the cornerstone, and where the convocation will take place for the gathering together of all the elect of God in the spiritual temple of Christ our Savior. Now notice in what we read, who will be carrying out that separation and that harvest for that gathering? The ministry. The ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now, in the message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. There He tells us, on page 43. Let us read that part there. He says, Christ is our ark, the word. They want their denomination. He cannot, notice, cannot be carried on the new carts of denominations. His message cannot go on the cart of a new denomination when it's supposed to be bore and come on the heart of a prophet. And at the right he writes, Revelation 10:1-11. Notice, there is the coming of the Lord. It's in that instrument which brings the Ark of the Covenant, the Word, into the most holy place, who is a dispensational messenger that has appeared between that dispensation that was coming to an end and the beginning of a new dispensation. That dispensational messenger always appears at the end of that dispensation that is ending and opens that new dispensation. The Ark of the Covenant, Christ in Holy Spirit, enters into that new dispensation in the heart of that prophet. And let us turn to paragraph 319 of the same message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. At the bottom he says, notice, God told the prophet, said, eat the scroll in the Old Testament. The prophet of the New Testament, he said, eat the little book. Why? That the prophet and the word would be one, see? That's the ark, the word of God. Now notice, there he also writes above, God says to the prophet, eat the little book. Now, our brother William continues saying here, for which the Holy Spirit will have his instrument to place the Ark of the Covenant, the Word, in the most holy place, the age of the cornerstone, and where the convocation will take place for the gathering together of all the elect of God in the spiritual temple of Christ, our Savior, and where the glory of Christ, the glory of God, will come to, and we will see it manifested at the last day at this end time. Just as he carried out the work of redemption 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross with the name Jesus, a name that had to do with the work that he was going to be carrying out there in his second coming for the meeting, the convocation, and to place the elect of God in that new dispensation and age of the cornerstone, that instrument must have the name that has to do with the work that he would be carrying out. Notice on page 64, on the book of quotations, paragraph 562, he tells us, Mora, Mora, the rain, former rain, planting rain has went forth. Now, what happened? The former rain was being planted. The latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and its Sodomites burned. Abraham received the promised son. Jesus said, let them grow together. The tares will be bound, bundled, and burnt. The wheat will go to the garner. See? The latter rain is just at hand. Don't you see the two harvests coming up here? And there he drew a cornerstone, receiving their last shower. They've come along to that last shower, see? Then what happened? The angels and the Lord disappeared. Then the rain took place, and he drew to the left there a Star of David. And here on top of the paragraph on 562, on top of it he writes, former rain, latter rain. Our brother William continues to say here, he says, and he says he is coming with his angels. For the Son of Man shall come with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. And he will call, he will come with a great voice of the trumpet, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And those angels are the two olive trees of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, and Revelation chapter 11, 1 to 14. They are the ministries of Moses and Elijah that will be repeated at this end time, in the coming of the Son of Man to his church, to his spiritual temple, to his house, to his family, to the believers in Christ of the last day, whom will be living in the golden age of the church, the most holy place of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will that whole blessing come forth for the people? It has to be in the same continent of the Americas. But the question is, in which part? Because one part has already been fulfilled in North America. There is still more land outside of North America to fulfill the second part of that blessing. And then he will turn to Israel. Therefore, Latin America has a very great blessing alongside the Caribbean. It has the blessing for the last day. And from there, that blessing will spread out to other nations and other people who are in the divine program for this end time. Therefore, let us be prepared. Let us always be working in the work of the Lord, praying as well. And as God said to Joshua, sanctify the people, because they are going to pass over the Jordan. Passing over the Jordan represents passing from death to life. Now notice how there he shows us that at this end time, God was going to fulfill that word, that promise of sanctification before passing over the Jordan, like what happened back then with Joshua. Joshua typifies the final messenger. He typifies the Holy Spirit. The Lord in His coming. When this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst, now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Page 161 of the Book of the Seals. Now notice here on page 516 of the Book of the Seals. It tells us, how could that man, that's the Elijah, stand up there on the mountain under the presence of God and pull down fire from heaven? And then, let's see here, because there is a place also here in this study where he tells us about all this. This page is in this study. Let us see there the writing. Notice, next to that paragraph in the Bible study, so you can put it there on the book, where it says, how could that man, Elijah, I'm on page 516 of the seals. How could that man, that's the Elijah, stand up there on the mountain under the presence of God and pull down fire from the heavens? And there to the right he writes, Elijah on the mountain. I have the study open there. And in that paragraph that was placed there in that study. And then rain right behind the fire. And then close the heavens and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And go right back and call the rain on that same day? It's a question. And took 400 priests out and killed them, and then run to the wilderness, screaming for his life on a treat of one woman. See, Jezebel. There on the right side, in the Bible study he writes, where it says, and then closed the heavens, and it rained for 3 years and 6 months. Next to it, on the side, he writes Revelation 11, 1 to 14, 7, 1 to 17, 14, 1 to 5, 12, 1 to 17. Let me repeat the scriptures. Revelation 11, 1 to 14, 7, 1 to 17, 14, 1 to 5, and 12, 1 to 17. And took 400 priests out and killed them, and then run to the wilderness, screaming for his life on a threat of one woman. See, Jezebel. She swore that she would take his life when Ahab and all of them was there to see the presence of God and the great miracles done. See, the spirit had left him. In his natural way of thinking, he didn't know how to think. See, he couldn't think for himself. And there he writes on the left side, upward, the mind. And remember, the angel put him to sleep and rested him, raised him up, gave him some cakes, then put him back to sleep and rested him and raised him up and gave him some cakes again. And we don't know what happened to the man for 40 days. Then he was pulled back in a cave somewhere and God called him. Don't try to explain that of supernatural. You can't do it, see? Only thing is to do is just go right ahead. I'll try to make myself clear as I can, but from henceforth, I think I'll never try it again. you just absolutely believe or not. You'll see a little later why. A little later and a little later, he is preaching there the seventh seal. See? Either you believe or you won't believe. And there on the left side, he writes upward, no explanation of the supernatural. There is no way to explain that which is so glorious and great. Now, let us see here, in this other book of the seals, there on the right side, on page, let us turn back to page 529, so we do not miss this writing, where it says, the Spirit had left him in his natural way of thinking. There on the right he writes, the human mind. In this other book. And on the right side, although the scriptures are here, there he writes, 42 months, Revelation 11, 1 to 14. Here in the book of the seals, on the left side, he continues saying, further down here, in this same study, is placed, is the quote 569 from page 65. Let us go there. Page 65. Paragraph 569, it says, the rain is going to fall pretty soon now. I mean, the real rain. And it's got to have seed to fall on. I hope I live to see it. Do you understand now? It will be the living word as it was at the beginning. The spoken word of God have his power, for it is in him, in his own body, working his own way. And above he writes, the latter rain. And here in the study he writes, it will be materialized around the word. Of which word? That word of the teaching rain, the latter rain, which we read there that it would be, it says, in the tenth vision. Now, our brother William continues to say here, a little further on this same message, we are at the same exact time for the manifestation of God visiting His people, His church, His people of the new covenant at the last day in which we have been given to live. There is where we will find the coming of the Son of Man with His angels, because He comes to His church. And from there, he will then reveal himself to the Hebrew people. Notice how clearly he spoke to us in these messages. And this, we are already speaking about this message, which was in January 17th of 2016. Where would the people, the church bride, find the coming of the Son of Man with his angels? In the midst of the people of the new covenant. Notice, and then he says that from there, he would reveal himself to the Hebrew people. Where? In that final manifestation of God. In the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. In that instrument which Brother Branham saw that the pillar of fire was speaking to someone above from where he was, in a great tent cathedral. In other words, that fulfillment that he saw there, today the people of God are feeling it, they are seeing it, they are hearing it, and they are receiving that which was prophesied, that God would be giving His church that final revival. In other words, the revelation of His coming, the rapturing faith containing the thunders. As the gospel of Christ came from the Jews through Peter and Paul to the Gentiles, the gospel will return to the Jews through the two olive trees, through the ministries of Moses and Elijah. In other words, Peter and Paul are a type and figure of the two olive trees. Notice in quote 5a, paragraph 46, he tells us, there is coming up a revival here pretty soon, a big tent meeting. I can just see it, right? And on the left, he draws a cornerstone. And above he writes, in the tent, a great meeting. In the great two dots, a great meeting. Now, if it is a great meeting, notice, who would be carrying out that meeting in the great tent? The ministries of Moses and Elijah. That angel, which we read in that excerpt there, from page 141, paragraph 1260, where he says that he would send the angel, that is, his angel, to make that separation, that segregation. In other words, it's God, the Holy Spirit, operating those ministries of Moses and Elijah, carrying out that meeting, that harvest. Where? In a great tent cathedral, which God is carrying out in this time in which we are living. We are in the midst of the action of that which was prophesied, which was promised. We are the actors of that great program being carried out, being fulfilled at this end time. And the glorious thing and the great thing is that we are on the side of the wheat, where we have been placed in the storehouse. Our brother William continues saying, and there in the Bible study, where they put that same excerpt, he writes, the tent cathedral. It says, there is coming up a revival here pretty soon, a big tent meeting. I can just see it, right? And he writes on the side, the tent cathedral. Now notice that in the Book of the Seals, he spoke to us about this on page 243, where he tells us, the bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to steer the bride yet, see? We're looking for it now. He'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again, see? Yep, he'll send it. He promised it. Now notice that revival of the bride, which is that shaking, which is what those angels are carrying out at this end time. Notice he writes it there. The revival of the bride, on top he writes the eighth, on the left side upward, you already have it. And he writes the shaking. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them 1 to 8. Now, our brother William continues to say here, it is in the most holy place where the two cherubims of olive overlaid with gold were, in the temple that King Solomon built. In the temple that Moses built, he had not placed the two cherubims of olive wood, only the two cherubims of gold above the mercy seat. But then in the temple that King Solomon built, not only are there the two cherubims of gold on the mercy seat, but also two giant cherubims of olive wood overlaid with gold. There we have the two olive trees, the two cherubims of olive trees overlaid with gold. Gold represents divinity. The olive trees, olive wood, represents humanity, the human part. and there is the place in the church, the most holy place, the age of the cornerstone, where those ministries of the two olive trees will appear in the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Now, notice also here, to go on concluding, on page 5a as well, on paragraph 49, it tells us, and that's why these things are doing, the Holy Spirit's coming into the earth in the great fullness of its being, to gather up the children from the four corners of the earth to get ready for the rapture. And there he writes at the bottom, Matthew 24:30-31. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. Matthew 24:30-31. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. And to the left, he writes, rapture. And on top he writes, the Holy Spirit with the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Now, notice, and also right there, where it says the Holy Spirit, above paragraph 49, the Holy Spirit with the ministry of Moses and Elijah, he writes Revelation 19:11-21, and 7, verse 2. The Holy Spirit with the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Because notice, that part that we read of the angel, he comes to make the separation, the segregation. That angel, notice, operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah to carry out that work, which is the ministry of Moses and Elijah, carrying out the separation, the segregation, the gathering in harvest. On this occasion, we have seen, under this subject, showers of blessing by the word of Elijah at the last day. We have seen what God is carrying out in the fulfillment of what he promised in a great tent cathedral. Everything that God carried out in past dispensations, past ages, everything pointed, indicated this time. We are in the greatest and most glorious time of all times, the time where God is fulfilling what he promised, giving the church bride, whispering in her ear, giving her the revelation to receive that rapturing faith, so that God soon fulfills his promise in his coming. Notice that once the scriptures are fulfilled, and at the end of that ministry, there is still an event that will take place, because they're in the sixth dimension, they're waiting for him. And that visit, when it takes place, notice, then he will come with those who are there, and they will appear here to those who are alive, to that church bride which was prepared and was given the rapturing faith. To those are the ones that they will reveal themselves, and by seeing them, they will be transformed. In other words, everything has an order. Everything has a stage, a process, which we must go through. You cannot cut ahead from the processes, the stages. Therefore, the church bride is waiting for the coming of the Lord. Notice, after that event happens, that scripture, then at the end of that ministry, notice that Revelation 11, then he's going to go and visit over there, so that then the church can wait for him to come with those from paradise, the sixth dimension, like what happened in the first coming of the Lord. he will only be away for 3.5 days. In other words, when that happens, when he comes with the saints, he will then have already been on earth preparing the church. He will have already given the last message to the church. The church bride will have already received the rapturing faith, and then, because it says when they have finished their testimony, the beast will kill them. See, and there you already know that scripture of Revelation 11. And it says, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of God will enter into them and they will stand on their feet. Now, all of that takes some stages in which we are now, in that stage of preparation, in that stage of teaching, where that revival is giving his church, reviving her, so that she thus obtains that translation faith, that rapturing faith. Showers of blessing by the word of Elijah at the last day. Let us stand, and we thus leave right away with us in this subject, showers of blessing by the word of Elijah at the last day, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.